Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Thank you. Ready? Everybody say this way. Say, thank you, Father, for the Word. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. You know, be honest with you, a lot of Christian people don't like that verse. We want our cake and eat it too. Amen. It said, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a powerful scripture. That's powerful. People say, Pastor, you preach hard. I didn't write the Bible. I just read a verse. I can't take it out. I mean, it's in there. Well, John was the apostle of love, yet he told you not to love the world. He told us not to love the world, nor the things in the world. He said, if you love the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I guess I don't. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. That's Hollywood. That's everything you see that everybody puts glamour on right there. And it says the world is passing away. And also it's lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. A lot of times we gotta ask ourselves, you know, what's the priority in our life? I mean, we gotta take care of kids. I mean, it's not talking about taking care of kids and doing the normal stuff of life. Amen. Do you know the most spiritual people that I know? I'm talking about moving the things of God, who know the Word of God back. They're the most practical people I've ever met. Brother Osteen was very practical. He used to say things, man, that people just like, man, that's not spiritual at all. But it was so practical and it was so spiritual that most people missed it. He would say things like this. He would say, don't buy every little thing your beady eyes look at. Don't, you know, if you can't afford a couch, get a crate. Get a milk crate and sit on it until you can pay cash for a couch. Don't go in debt. Get out of debt. Don't go in debt just for the sake of trying to impress people. You know, drive an old rusty truck or car until you can afford one. Amen? You know, I mean, there's a lot of people, they go out and buy real expensive cars. That, you know, and that's okay to have a car payment. I'm not saying this because I don't know very many people who can pay cash for a car. Yeah. Amen? Although there's a few that I know, praise God, that can pay cash for a car. I mean, you can pay cash for a car if you save your money. Amen? And so not all debt's bad, but some people go out and buy $50,000, $60,000 cars, and they can't even afford a $10,000 car just because they spend all their money on one thing. Be practical. Be sensible. How in the world I got on that? I don't know. It says, the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it's the last hour. If it was the last hour then, my God, we know it's the last hour now. Don't you reckon? Come on. And it says, and just as you have heard that Antichrist, now he's not talking about the Antichrist, he's talking about the Antichrist spirit. He says, just as you heard the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. My Lord, if it was back then, how much more now? I mean, you got people believe weird things, goofed up things. And it's an Antichrist spirit. what's anti-Christ? It's anti-anointing. It's the opposite of that which is anointing, is anointed. And it says, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained. They would have remained with us. But they went out so that they would be shown that they were not of us. But you have an anointing. Everybody say, I have an anointing. From the Holy One. And you all know. And it says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Now, you can say whatever you want to say about the Muslim Islam faith, but that scripture right there tells you, if you've ever read anything of the Quran, that they are Antichrist. It is a false Antichrist demonic religion, because they deny the Father and the Son. They say Allah could not have a son, would not have a son. Amen? It says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He has Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. So it goes along with what I was talking about earlier. That anointing there, it's not saying that you don't need teachers in the faith. If you didn't need teachers, then why did God give you teachers? He says He's given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen? Why? For the perfecting of the saints. He's not talking about here about the perfecting of the saints. He's not talking about the ministry gift of a teacher here. Are you listening to me? He's talking about that the anointing that abides in you, He will teach you what is anti-Christ, what is anti-anointing, and what is true anointing. That's what He's talking about here. And that anointing in you will teach you. You ever been around somebody? They're talking about the Lord. They're talking about supernatural things. But then there's something on the inside of you is going, danger, danger, danger. Danger, Will Robertson, danger. But you have one on the inside of you, an anointing. An anointing. What's the word anointing means? It means to be smeared. You have something that's been smeared upon your spirit that will teach you what is the true anointing and what is the anti-anointing. Amen? And so when you get around people, especially when you start, and listen, because people are so afraid to get around people that they're not familiar with, that they won't fellowship with people. Listen, I there's a lot of preachers, a lot of different Christian people that I fellowship with, but they don't believe like I believe. In this city, I'm like the black sheep of the family. Are you listening to me? I mean, really, because of the background I come out of, the Word of Faith background that I come out of. I mean, you have to understand that most people in this city, when you say, I was sitting in a meeting here not too long ago with some preachers, and they say, well, what's your background? Well, I come from Brother Osteen, Brother Hagin, Word of Faith. They say, oh, and put their head down, turn, and start talking to the other guy. I don't know why. When Brother Hagin and Brother Osteen preached in all their churches. Come on now. If I preach something that's not in the Bible, then we'll talk about it. Amen? But I mean, my God, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Amen? Y'all the eating. And it works. The Word works. Amen? And so, but when you get around somebody, I remember when I was in Bible school, I was working for Pizza Inn. They don't have Pizza Inns up here, do they? They have Pizza Inn down in the South. And there was a cook there. And we got to talking, and he was a nice guy, but you could tell he's kind of off. And so we got to talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost in a camp. I said, what kind of camp? Well, just some youth camp I went, some church or something. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, let me hear you. You speak in tongues, let me hear. You know, let me hear. And so he said, really? I said, yeah, let me hear. So he started praying in tongues. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about every hair on my body stood straight up. I was like, whoa, that's the devil right there. I mean, that's a devil. And so he did. He spoke in tongues, but it wasn't God. It wasn't God. It was an anti-anointing. It was tongues. It was a different language, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't. It didn't have the breath of heaven on it. Woo! Are you listening to me? And so you got to be careful. You got to be careful who you let speak into your life. You just don't let everybody that speak into your life. I don't let nobody speak into my life unless I ask them to. I don't let very many preachers speak into my life. You got to be careful who you let speak into your life. Because some people bring something fleshly or sensual. I have prayed for people before. I have prayed for people before. And you can feel that spirit of lust upon them. Now, if they was to pray for you, think about somebody praying for you like that. They're praying for you, but all they're thinking about is your body. You would be surprised. You'd be surprised. Be cautious about your life. Protect your heart. Protect your mind. Are you listening to? See, there's an anointing. See, we've been talking a lot about that. About let that spirit man dominate you. Let that anointing that's upon your spirit lead. And it'll tell you what's God and what's not. You don't have to have a vision. You don't have to have a discerning of spirits. You don't have to have a manifestation of the Holy Ghost to know what's anti and what is real anointing. There's a lot of people that have high profile names. And everybody says, that's anointing. And it's not anointing, it's flesh. Because the church don't know the difference between what's anointing and what's flesh. Not everybody who can sing a pretty song is anointed. They know how to work a crowd. They know how to sing in a way that'll pull on your emotions. That's not anointing. You got to be careful. You got, just like that girl in the book. Let's read that. Go over to the book of Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 16, ain't it? I think it's, yeah, Acts chapter 16. I don't want to take too much of your time here tonight, but I do want to, you know, listen, if you know somebody who's come out of the occult, okay, give them a lot of space to have a good track record. It's always good to know somebody's track record before you let them speak and lay hands on you and impart something into your life. Doesn't mean that they're not saved. Doesn't mean that they're not filled with the Spirit. Doesn't mean, but let them, if you've known them for a long time, let them have a good track record. Because you don't want the mess that's in their life. Amen? There are things imparted through the laying on of hands. When Moses, when God told him to lay his hands upon Joshua, he said, "And I'll give you some of his spirit. I'll give some of your spirit on him. What's in you and what's on you, I'll put on him." You know, be careful. Amen. But listen, we can't be so cautious that we're afraid. We don't want fear to be a motivator. But we want to be cautious about guarding our heart. Angela's Ansel, she'll be downright rude to somebody. We was in that Jesus Culture concert, and there's a couple sitting behind us, and the girl was very flamboyant, very, very loud, and all of this, and there was a lady come up and start prophesying over them. Come on, man. Jesus Culture concert ain't the time to come give everybody a word. You know? And so he asked, he said, well, you know, if you're dealing, if there's something that's holding you or something like that, remember when he did that and he had everybody kind of just stretch your hands. If somebody raised their hand, just kind of stretch your hand. So Angel just stretched her hands towards the woman in front of us. She raised her hand. And so evidently the lady behind us, you know, she thought that Angel evidently had lifted her hand. Angel was just stretching her hands out with everybody. Well, she laid her hands on Angel and started praying. I bind you, devil. Whatever's been binding her. Angel just kind of shrugged her shoulder, kind of rude. You know, I was like, you know, but see, you gotta be willing with somebody that don't. It's different if somebody that I don't know. It's just like they're just praying a general prayer with everybody else. Lord bless them. Lord help them. You know, that's different. But when it comes to, you know, I'm gonna lay my hands on you to try to minister to you. That's a lot different. Am I making sense? Because you can get screwed up real fast. You listening to me? I'll say a statement that I say this statement only because it came from a good source. It's not something that I knew. It's not something I experienced. It's from a good source. But I know some pastors. Well, actually, my pastor Griner knows some people that actually went down into that Lakeland meeting with Todd Bentley, had hands laid on them, and it screwed them up because of all the junk that was going on down there. See, not just because people have big crowds, it doesn't mean it's all God. Was some of it God? Absolutely, there's people that got healed down in those meetings because Jesus will fill the hungry. Yeah, I like something Brother Hagin said about Alexander Dowie. Back, Alexander Dowie was a great revival, a great healing minister. He said you could follow his faith, but you couldn't follow his doctrine. You could follow his faith, but you couldn't follow his doctrine. You get messed up. And so this woman here, she said in verse 14, it says a woman named that's not it. Verse 16, and it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." That's a true statement. That's exactly what they were doing. Exactly. Have you ever had somebody tell you something? You know, back in the day, that told you it was God, and I know people, my family, good Baptist and Methodist people. They'll run down to a palm reader as much as they'll run down to a grocery store. They don't have no more sense than a box of rocks. Are you kidding me? Let me just go ahead and just jump on over into another area. Let me tell you something. You get up watching Harry Potter and watching all that mess, listen to me very carefully. You'll open a door to the devil in your life. You will open a door to the devil in your life. People get into this transcendental meditation and all that kind of mess, you know? And there's a big thing about what they do is visualization. Visualizing yourself in heaven. Visualizing yourself. You understand? What happens is you'll get over and the devil will get in there. Because you can't connect with God with your mind. God's not a mind. He's a spirit. With the mind, you connect with the intellectual world. With your body, with the physical world. With God, your spirit. Those who deal in witchcraft and sorcery and all of that kind of mess, it's a work of the flesh. Galatians 5 says that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. The devil works in the realm of the flesh. Amen. Angela was just, can I tell my story, Angela? Angela was just telling me she not my wife, Angela. I got to say that on the tape because people think that, but Angela, well, when I gave your testimony, when you come over and gave your testimony, I had people ask me, I didn't know your wife was addicted to drugs. Angela Copel. Angela, she said she was doing in-home care and she, that's kind of funny you think about it. But Angela did in-home care to a guy here in town who's a palm reader, his wife. And when she was in that house, she'd pray over everything. She said, I went and got me some vegetable oil and kind of anointed all his little stuff. Praise God. Somebody got some, amen? Got some boldness, hallelujah. And so she anointed all that stuff. And so he come in and had some kind of thing. And the lady that was in there getting a consultation ran out mad. And Ansel asked her, what's wrong with her? He goes, I don't know. I can't get it right today. I just can't get nothing right. Why? Because the real anointing will confuse the false anointing. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. But see, this woman here, she was saying the right thing. She was saying something that's real. But it was a familiar spirit. So you just don't, just because somebody says something to you and they're right, doesn't mean that they were right. You judge everything by the Spirit. You judge everything by the Word of God. Who is this? This is one way to know if it's God. Who is the one who is getting the glory and who is being exalted in what you're in, what's been saying to you? Who's getting the glory? Who is it? Is it their gift? If somebody comes through and they're always promoting their gift, that's an anti-anointing. Paul said, I magnify my office. He didn't say, I magnify my gift. Amen? That a preach right there. Paul said, I magnify my office, not my gift. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that are going around and it's all about come and discover your gift. Amen? What is your gift? I mean, I'm going to help everybody in here. It's the same for everybody. It's to serve. It's to love. It's to be a blessing. But what's my specific gift, Pastor? I don't know. Get busy loving, serving, and helping, and you'll discover it. People say, well, I have a gift of prophecy. No, you don't. You don't have nothing. You're in the right place at the right time. The Holy Ghost manifests through you. You don't possess the gifts of the Spirit. They're manifestations of the Holy. That's why the word gifts is not in the Bible. It's not gifts. It's not gifts of the Spirit. It's manifestations of the Spirit. Amen? We don't possess anything. We're a vessel to be used, to be flowed through. But see, there's such an exaltation of gifts right now. Everybody wants to, and I'm telling you, there's a bad spirit about it. It's bringing this individualism, this selfishness into the church. That it's all about me and it's not about the body. Everybody wants to move. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, there's not very many. There's only like one or two in the New Testament of anything that was personal prophecy. I know nobody likes to hear that. Are you listening to me? Everybody got a word for somebody. I had my grandmother say, the Lord give you a word for me? I said, he sure did. It starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation. That's my word for you. No, do you have a prophetic word for me? How much more prophetic do you want me to get? Amen? And what it's done is because we've magnified that we, are you listening? It's caused people to be baby Christians. And what's happened is that there's a lot of people. Let me tell you something. I've walked out of meetings before because they magnify the gift and they get over into familiar spirits. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ among the prophetic movement. is that there's a lot of people, they think it's anointing, but just that it's familiar spirits. And it's caused more harm than it's caused good. It's called people to remain babies instead of mature Christians. You were never designed to, not even the children of Israel were ever designed to be led by prophets. They were led by prophets because they were dead on the inside. The Bible says that they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't say they're led by prophets. Is there a ministry of prophecy? Yes. Is there a ministry? Absolutely. There is that. But in context, most prophecy is done in assembly to bring exhortation and comfort to the body. Is there times where God will speak to you to encourage somebody? Absolutely. And you need to encourage them. But you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. I don't know why I'm getting over into this tonight. But it's not thus saith the Lord. You just encourage them. You don't have to say, the Lord said this. Because when you say, the Lord said this, do you know how much responsibility that is? To say that God Almighty said this to you for my life. What if it wasn't God? What if it was just your desire for that person? You just be careful. Don't be so quick to say, thus saith the Lord. I mean, but today, somebody say, I mean, every time Dick and Harry said, thus saith the Lord, it's such like saying, I love you. People get mad at me and Angela because we don't, you know, I mean, my God. I mean, every time we get on the phone, every time I have a conversation, I love you, baby. I walk out of the room, I love you, baby. I'm going out, I'm going to go take trash, I love you, though. Should we tell each other we love each other? Yeah, you should tell your spouse and the people that you love them all the time. But dear God, if you got to tell them you love them, just, I love you, but I got to go to the bathroom. I mean, come on. And then what happens is it just becomes something familiar. It's no different saying I need a drink of water. You see what I'm saying? There's such a familiarity with it. She says, dear God, if I got to tell you I love you after 26 years, and she does sometimes. But she more, let's show me. I'll show you that I love you more than, are you listening to me? Love is an action, not just a word. And so you got to be careful. Don't get so familiar with Christian lingo that we miss the deepness and the meaning of it all. When you say, thus saith the Lord, you better make sure. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, some people say, well, you say, well, Teresa and them, they brought my, sometimes you bring it, I bring it across where it almost, well, I'm scared to say something. No, listen, man, when the Holy Ghost is moving upon you, don't be afraid to say, thus saith the Lord. Amen? But there's a lot of people, and none of y'all do this in here, so this is just a cautionary thing tonight. But there's some people, they go around, and you can't even have a normal conversation with them. The Lord told me this, and the Lord, my God, if God spoke to me that much, I'd be a multi-billionaire. That banks would be coming to me looking for money instead of the other way around. Amen? Everybody said, thus saith the Lord. The Lord said this to me. The Lord said that to me. The Lord showed me that. The Lord showed me that. The Lord said this. The Lord, well, dear God, if God said you that much, why is your life so screwed up? Don't shout me down. Am I telling y'all the truth tonight? Do y'all have a witness with your spirit? I'm telling you the truth tonight. I'm only trying to help you. I want you to mature. Listen, is there times where I need God to speak to me? And if I have been in a place where I just can't hear, God will. You know, hasn't happened to me very seldom. Maybe once or twice in my life that God actually sent somebody and said, God told me to tell you this. Maybe once. Twice, maybe three times in my life, in 30 years of being a Christian. I used to get mad. I'd be in a meeting. I don't know who. I have this conversation with you or with Adam, one of y'all. Somebody here lately, I'd be sitting in a meeting. The prophet will come, and he'll minister to everybody but me. And I'm like, hey, do you not know I'm here? I mean, I'd be in a meeting. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God speaks to everybody, says something encouraging, great to everybody but me. And it's a legitimate message. It's a legitimate ministry gift. And I'm like, come on. What's the deal? And I remember talking to this lady a long time ago about that. She goes, you ought to take it as a compliment, Aaron, instead of being disappointed. She goes, that because if God doesn't have to send somebody to speak to you, that means you can hear him yourself. Man, I like that. If God has to send somebody to you, it's because you can't hear. So don't be discouraged. If you don't get the word from God, that means you don't need one. Sometimes we want one and get one, then we don't like the one we got. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, that's really not what I wanted to hear today. But there is a legitimate, what I'm saying, there is a real legitimate prophet's office. And there is a real legitimate thing of the Spirit. And there is a, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there is a ministry of the Spirit that we can have among us that's good. But if God, many times I'll pray and God will say something to me, but I don't come up and say, now Tiffany, the Lord said to me, I was praying for you today, and thus saith the Lord. And I'm starting to shake, and thus saith the Lord. I can just say, you know, you've been on my heart, and I was praying for you, you know, and I just want you to be encouraged today, and just let you know that, you know, see the difference? But it's just as legitimate, the spirit of prophecy, as it is if I was to stand there and say, thus saith the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Because it's bringing exhortation, it's bringing encouragement, it's bringing comfort. And it might be just something that you wouldn't even think that's that spiritual, but it was right on the money of what she needed to hear at that moment. You got to be careful. See, there's a lot of people that they'll have that the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to say this, I didn't mean to get over into this, but there's a lot of times people have that they'll be in the service and that spirit of prophecy will come on them. And just because that spirit of prophecy comes on you to encourage and we ought to have an abundance of it. Don't ever be afraid. If you're in this service and the Spirit of God moves upon you to get to stand up and let me recognize you and encourage the people, don't ever be afraid of that. I would never embarrass you. If you missed it a million miles, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. If you miss it, we just get back up and go on. Amen? But more likely, if your heart's right, though you might not word it the way you want to, or way you think you should have, but you probably hit it on the nail. Don't be discouraged. Just it comes to encourage. The Spirit of God begins to encourage. Are you listening to me? Don't ever be afraid. We need to have an abundance of that. You see, but it's as we press in. It's as we give ourselves to the things. It's the deeper things of God. It's as we give ourselves to the things of the Spirit. We come to give instead of always to receive. And God will use us greatly. The move of the Spirit would be great in this place. But we need to know, we need to be, you know, especially you ushers. You need to be ready and know when somebody comes in and they're not right. You need to be led by the Spirit and know somebody comes in, they've come to bring discord or harm or something like that. Instead of, are you listening to me? And you need not suspicious. Because discerning of spirits is not the gift of suspicion. Amen. If somebody comes in here and they stand up and say, Pastor Aaron, God's curse is on this church and you're going to die, tackle him and throw him out. That's not God. How do you know that's not God? Because God's not going to curse me. And I'm not going to die early. I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of God. Amen? You have an anointing. You have an anointing that abides with me. And I want you to see something here. And then I'm done. It says, and it happened as we went to the slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling, followed after Paul and us, and kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed. An antichrist spirit, listen to me, an antichrist, a wrong spirit about somebody, it will annoy you. It will bring an agitation to you that you're like,
No. No. Looks good. Sounds good. But, it's,
You hear what I'm saying? See, Paul got annoyed with it. Amen? Now, just because you and your wife get in a fight and you're annoyed with her don't mean she got bad spirit. We're not talking about that. Just because you get mad with your boss at work and you don't like what they said, it doesn't mean they got a devil. You understand what I'm saying? You gotta come on, have some sense about it. Surely y'all are more mature. I know y'all are more mature than that. Amen? But see, Paul got annoyed with her, greatly annoyed, and turned and said to the Spirit, you have to understand that you're dealing with devils. You're dealing with spirits. You're not dealing with people. You're dealing with people. But people yield to spirits. Amen? If you're in McDonald's and somebody comes in and pulls a gun and starts shooting somebody, they've yielded to a wrong spirit. If you have a gun on them, put a bullet in their head to save the rest of the people. Amen? That's how you deal with somebody possessed by the devil that in that kind of a situation. Amen? Is that too practical for y'all? Is that too practical for y'all? I mean, what are you going to do? Sit there and say, yay, praise God. Come on, shoot another one. No, don't do that. So there are, what I'm saying is there are consequences for yielding to the wrong spirit. And Paul was annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in Jesus' name, come out of her. And it came out of her that moment. Yeah. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen. There are real devils, but thank God that the greater one lives on the inside of us. And there's an anointing that abides within us that will show us what's antichrist. Amen. Don't ever be afraid of the devil. And don't ever become devil conscious. Don't ever become, you understand what I mean by that, Aaron? Don't ever become where you think there's a devil behind everything. Where you're always talking, people, you'd be surprised. When you get, I'll give you an example. You get around people who's all into spiritual warfare. That's all they think about. They're more devil conscious than they are Jesus conscious. They're more defeated conscious than they are victory conscious. The Holy Ghost will always lead you in victory. When you're led by the Spirit, you always have a spirit of victory about you. There's victory. Though you may be going through it, there may be a contention or an adversity, but still, the attitude is a victory. Because He always leads us in triumph. Amen? Amen? So walk circumspect. Walk in a way. Pay attention. Pay attention. I want the move of the Spirit more than anybody. I do. I want God. And we've been having some great services. How many think we've been having good services? Been having great services, man. And I know God wants to take us deeper and with greater things to happen. And I don't ever want to grieve the Holy Ghost. And I don't ever want to put a damper on it. Amen. But I want what is real, and I don't want a counterfeit. I don't want what is wrong. Because I know and I've experienced in my lifetime the real move of the Spirit. And I want the real stuff. I don't want some man-made stuff. Amen? And it might not look like what we think it looks like. Amen? We just got to be, I mean, I just encourage you. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Pray much in other tongues. How do you become spiritually sensitive to a place where you just don't, you know, you got some sense about you? The reason most Christian people don't have good sense about them because they don't spend much time praying in the Holy Ghost. They're more dull of hearing than they are sensitive to hearing. Praying in the Spirit makes you more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. That's why whatever language you speak fluently, it ought to be the second language. Tongues ought to be the first. Don't mean you walk through the grocery store. Asoko na mahai ne hefrodosa. Aisle 12. Yeah. No, that's always a... But you know, Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin said it this way. You can pray under your breath all day long and nobody know what you're doing. I remember one time I was welding. I was sitting on a bucket. I was welding this vertical seam. And I had my hood down. And I kind of got just lost praying in tongues. I started singing in tongues. And I got kind of loud. I got kind of lost in it, to be honest with you. I'm welding. It's 100 degrees. I'm welding. I'm welding. I'm going up. I'm welding. And I'm just, and I'm under my hood, so I'm louder than what I think. I lift my hood up, turn around, the inspector standing right behind me. He probably thought, oh my God, what have I walked into? So we don't want to be, what's happened with the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit is that people have become so zealous for those things that they've gotten over into goofiness and flakiness. And instead of, let me tell you something, when the people in the book of Acts flowed in the Holy Ghost, it attracted people. You find a lot of times people moving in the Holy Ghost today, it repels people. I don't think the things of the Spirit are offensive. I mean, there is an offense that comes with it. Don't misunderstand me. But people are hungry for the supernatural. Amen. Amen. And there is a real move of the Spirit, and we're going to get into it. We're in it. Amen.